For the scripture reading tonight, Revelation chapter 2. So where we are, Revelation chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 18. So Revelation chapter number 2, quite a few verses here tonight. So I will read the even verses. We will read responsively on the odd verses. So Revelation chapter 2, verses 18 through 29. And the Bible says, And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, These things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass together. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am. And I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest of Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden together, but that which ye have already, hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh, and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your word. God, thank you that it's powerful. It speaks to us, and Lord, if we allow it to, every time we open it up, it does work in our hearts. And even tonight, please do just that. Be with Pastor Myers as he speaks to us. Give him power to speak from this book of Revelation. Be with us as we listen. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you, ladies. We're back in the book of Revelation. And we're looking at the seven churches. Of course, we'll be going through the book of Revelation to the very end. And we've entitled the series, Unveiling the Future. And that's what the name Revelation means. It means unveiling. And so we've been looking at it. I hope you noticed as we just lay in the little foundation, the first three chapters talking about the churches, that the church is important. People try to de-emphasize the church, but really, the book of Revelation was written to the church. It's a letter to the church. And so I hope we're seeing that. We've looked at three of the churches so far. We've looked at Ephesus, the church that left their first love. We looked at Smyrna, the church that was faithful during persecution. And we looked last time, a few weeks ago when I was here in town, Pergamos, the church that compromised. Today we're going to look at the church of Thyatira. One of the politically correct words of our day is the word tolerance. Now, I believe in tolerance. I don't believe in the nonsense our society pushes that they call tolerance. That is not tolerance. Tolerance in our society means that we are not only to understand that people have a right to different beliefs and lifestyles, but we must accept them as equally valid to what we believe. Okay, that's the issue I have. I am tolerant to an extent that everybody has a right to believe what you want. But you cannot force me to accept what someone else believes as being equally valid as what I believe. Now, I can believe some things that might be wrong. But when it comes to the truth of Scripture, that's a whole different subject. If I believe that the only way to heaven is Jesus Christ, you have a right to disagree with that belief. But, and that's called free will, by the way. But You don't have to force me to believe that what you believe is equally valid as what I believe. Fact of the matter is, if you believe in anything other than the fact that Jesus Christ is the way to heaven, I believe that you are wholeheartedly wrong based on the scripture. But our society now is trying to make us accept as valid things that the Bible say are not valid. And if we don't believe them, we are intolerant. And by the way, if that's intolerant, mark me down. I'm intolerant. Now, I'm not mean to people that you believe what you want if it's wrong. By the way, there's only one thing that our society who believes in toleration is intolerant of: Christianity. Not accepting what they believe is right. Okay? And so that is a problem. If we believe in that type of toleration, then it's really a repudiation of the fact that there is a standard of right and wrong. And by the way, there is a standard of right and wrong. That's the real issue. The reason society wants to force us to believe what they believe is because they no longer believe that there is a right and wrong. Unless what you believe, what they believe is wrong, then they believe that is wrong. And I don't understand what I just said. Okay, I hope you got that. Now, instead of just putting up with the attitudes and actions with which we strongly disagree, society is increasingly expecting everybody to accept and even approve of everybody's beliefs, values, and lifestyles. We believe in going out and sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with everybody. And I've talked to people, and they don't believe that. And I have no problem with them. They can believe what they want. I'll still be friendly to them. I don't hate anybody. We differ on that. But if they try to force me to approve of that belief, then I have an issue with that. The buzzword for those who believe in something being true and that there is a right standard, they call us intolerant or phobic, whatever you want to call it. Homophobic, thisophobic, whatever. Everything's phobic. Okay? Now, that ties in with the church we're going to look at tonight, the Church of Thyatira. In their city were many work guilds. Almost, we would think of them almost as unions in a sense, for the various different trades that they would work. And each of these different groups had their own god that they would worship. And so, if you wanted to be part of their work guild and get work, you had to believe in that particular deity. Now, you can see right off the bat where the issue would be for the Christians. For the Christians, they would not be able to accept that. Therefore, they would not be able to be part of the different guilds, and it would cost them their right to work. They faced persecution, as did all other believers. They had some issues, though. They were tolerating in their midst that which God sternly condemned. When we looked at Pergamos several weeks ago, we saw that they compromised. And this church is one that's going to tolerate. And they're almost cousins in that sense. Pergamos tried to marry the church to the world. This one is going to marry the doctrine. They tolerated and allowed false doctrine, which led to wrong living. That's an important message for us today. As Christians, as a church, we are not allowed or should allow false doctrine and sin into the church, even under the banner of tolerance. What the church has started to do is to take some of the issues of our times and find a way to tolerate that in the church under the guise of being loving. Let me give you a for instance. The Southern Baptist Convention, by the way, we are not part of a convention. We are an independent church. In other words, we're not part of a denomination. The Southern Baptist Church just elected a new president. They are starting to go that direction. This president, a guy named J.D. Greer, said this, speaking of homosexuality: "We are to love our gay neighbor more than we love our position on homosexuality." That sounds cute. By the way, I'm not for hating anybody. People have a right to believe as they want, even if it's wrong. But I do have a right, I do have we do have a moral obligation to stand up and say that's wrong. What he is saying and trying to mask it is, you know, we should let that go because we should love them more than we should love our position. Now, let's think that through for a minute. Where do we get our position from? Our position is based on the Bible, which is truth. We are not supposed to love anything more than we love truth. And that's the direction they're going. He said something even more ignorant. I love you more than I love being right. Now, again, that sounds cute. And by the way, it's not about being right. It's about being truthful. I don't want someone to lie to me. And I'm not going to love something more than I love what Jesus says is true. And when we get to that, we start to tolerate sin. It's nonsense. By the way, let me just say this, and we'll get to the message in a minute. We say, well, that's just being loving. Is it loving to lie to somebody? If you were sick and you could not figure out your illness and you went to see the doctor and the doctor said, man, I don't want to tell them something negative so that they feel like I don't love them, I'll just love them more than I love the diagnosis. You know, they take an MRI of your heart and they see that you're 95% clogged and you're about ready to have a heart attack, but they don't want to offend you. I love you more than I love your MRI. That's ridiculous. If you love somebody, you tell them the truth. So this is a false argument. We face it. That's why as we look at some of these things these churches faced, it's not something that's, you know, 2,000 years ago. It's something that's today. So let's look at the church of Thyatira. He's going to address their issue, which is false teachers. First of all, I want us to notice the authority of judgment. Look at verse 18. As in all the other churches, when Jesus identifies himself, he's identifying his character or who he is in a way that directly relates to the issues that they are having. Verse 18. And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath eyes like a flame of fire, speaking of judgment. And his feet are like fine brass. When you see brass in the Bible, it's a symbol of judgment. When in one time they went into the temple and they took out all of the golden utensils of the temple because they were being disobedient. And the king, I forget who it was, he replaced them with instruments of brass. Why? God's judgment had come. So Jesus is speaking to them as an authority because he has the right to judge. When he uses the phrase, speaking of Christ, the Son of God, that speaks of the deity of Christ. You see that phrase often in the book of John. The book of John is to teach us about the deity of Christ. In other words, that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. So when Jesus speaks something, he has a right to tell us what is right, what is wrong, and what we're supposed to do. And he has a right to judge us if we don't follow him. It's like a parent. If your child is disobedient and you're a good parent, you're going to pass judgment on them. How many of you have ever been out with your children and they've been in trouble and it's like, wait till we get home? How many of you been there? Remember when Jack was like three and we were at the store and he was acting like a 3-year-old. And I'm like, stop that. And he didn't listen. I said, when you get home, you're in trouble. So we got in the car. He goes, hey, Dad, can I get in trouble now? And I'm like, no, I said, when we get home, he goes, oh, come on, you promised. Now, he didn't have a comprehension of what that is all about, okay? But listen, as parents, we have a right to discipline and train our children. They're our children. And Jesus has the right to discipline us. You know, people talk a lot about judge not. You know, if you get up and say anything, it's sin. It's, oh, you're judging me, bro. Listen, no one's judging you. If the Bible says it's wrong, the Bible's judging you. You know what judging is? I heard someone say the other day, said, you know, all these people that get, there's a group of people now, they're against solos in the church. You know, people shouldn't get up and sing specials. And one of them said, I think everybody that gets up and sings a special in church, they're just doing it out of pride. You know that for a fact? That's judging. That's judging someone's motive. But to get up and say the Bible says this and we're not supposed to be a part of that and it's wrong is not judging, it's truth. And Jesus has the ultimate right to teach us what is right and what is wrong. Number two, I want you to see the acknowledgement of growth. Now, although this church had some major problems we're going to look at, there was some people in the church that were growing and doing the right thing. By the way, just because we live in a society where maybe there's some struggles, and even as we think of our church and we think of Christianity in general in our society, it's going sideways. But that's no excuse for us individually or us as our church to go that way. We can still be true and faithful to our Lord Jesus Christ. And they had some folks that were there. Look at verse 19. He says, I know thy works. They grew in their works. He mentioned the little phrase there, and the last to be more than the first. In fact, these that were doing these things were growing in them. They served him. And we've looked at that with some of the other church. They grew in their love and charity. Charity is a Bible word for love. By the way, we are to grow in our love. The more we grow in our faith, the more we grow in our Bibles, the more we ought to love God, and the more we ought to love others. So I don't like this whole thing when they say churches that stand for the truth don't love. We do love people. It's unloving just to tell everybody, go your way and do whatever you want, and everything will be fine. That's not true. We're supposed to grow in our love. He said, and they grew in their service. They're serving the Lord. We've talked about all these with the other churches. They grew in their faith, he says, and in faith. And they grew in their patience in the midst of all that was going around them. And I'm sure there was a group in the church that were remaining faithful in the spite of some of the things we're going to see. He told them to hang in there, be patient. By the way, this world is not our home. Some of the nonsense going on in the world, sometimes you listen to the news, and I don't like to do that. And you hear some things like, what is going on in this world? That's okay, be patient. Because this world isn't where our citizenship. Our citizenship's in heaven. And one day, payday is coming. And heaven will be a wonderful, wonderful place. But here's their issue, number three. The acceptance of evil. The acceptance of evil. Look at verse 20. Notwithstanding. So he tells who he is. He tells them there's some good things. And now he gets to the crux of the issue. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee. Because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel. Just that name makes your skin crawl. Does anybody know someone named Jezebel? You do? Okay. The parents didn't understand that. Now, I know some people that have got the nickname. Okay. By the way, husbands, you have little pet names from your wife, like sweetheart, dear, you know, whatever. Jezebel's not a good one. I'm just going to tell you, don't use that one. That one won't work. Brother Pacharo told me he tried it one time. It just didn't work for him. Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed to idols. That was their problem. There was this lady there. We'll look at her in a minute. And she's doing this nonsense and spreading this false doctrine and this evil works in the church. But that's not the problem. The problem was the word that says suffereth. Thou sufferest. That means to tolerate and to allow free access and reign to do as one pleases. The problem wasn't that this lady tried to get into the church and tried to do some nonsense. The problem was they not only allowed it, they gave her an open door to do it. Now, let me just say something. That will happen in this type of church. We're going to be on the same page. We're going to have the right doctrine. We're going to have the right beliefs. And if someone's trying to spread something or get their own little group, it will be dealt with. Okay, maybe I've just been doing this long enough now, and it's like, if you're not on board, then you need to get on another ship. Okay? We're not going to just allow nonsense to go on. And we don't. By the way, we have a great church, and you're on board and all that, and I'm thankful for that. But we're not going to let somebody just come in and decide that, well, I just believe this. Keep it to yourself. You know, I've been to a few churches over the years on vacation in some of the areas where we know some folks, and they go through a time when they don't have a pastor. And they'll have like maybe several different laymen in the church preach while they're looking for a pastor. I've been at some, and I sensed it in a couple. They had their own little agenda, their own little beliefs, and they're pushing back and forth on each other. That causes division. Okay? That causes division. And thankful, but this was not just causing division. This was causing people to sin grievously. It was not a good thing going on. If the church is not willing to stand against evil, who will? They weren't standing against her. She was causing evil to be done. Now, we're going to stand against it here in the church, but we also need to promote it in our lifestyles and for our society. We're supposed to be salt, and salt preserves. And listen, let it be known that this church stands for right. Now listen, we don't hate people that get caught up in sin. We're here to help people. And by the way, many of us that came into a church when we came in and we were a mess. Can I get a witness? Oh, you look nice now, but I was here when you came. Okay, and I know the way you used to be, and I know the way I used to be. Thank God, when I walked into Gethsemane Baptist Church, there was a place that can take me where I was and help me to get to where God wanted me to be. I'm not saying let's be pharisaical on me, but if someone comes into a church, they ought to come into a place that's going to help them get to where God wants them to be, not just come in, pat them on the back, and say, stay where you're at, everything's good. We have a misunderstanding of that. We have to stand. Society wants us to be quiet. They want to pass their agendas. They want all their nonsense to go on. They want all this pushed, and they want Christians just to say, hey, it's okay. Worse than standing, churches are now accepting. The church today looks a lot like what the world's promoting. You know, I get a little tired of hearing these Christians, and they want to use all the buzzwords of society. Do you think this is wrong? Well, you know, I don't want to judge anybody. I want to hear their story. You want to hear a story, read a book. Dr. Seuss is a good one. Well, what do you mean a story? Something is either right or wrong. It has nothing to do with your story. And that's where we are, you know. Well, what is the narrative? I'll tell you what the narrative is. It's scripture. It's truth. So let's not get all of that. Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, to beware of false prophets. There are false prophets. Now, the thing about a false prophet is he doesn't look like one. A false prophet looks a lot like the real deal. A wolf in what? Sheep's clothing. And if you look at Matthew 7:15 and you look at Scripture, it tells you how we can spot a false prophet. We have to look at their character. Some of them may look nice, but what's the type of lifestyle they're living? If their lifestyle is in contrast to the Word of God, we know that they are a false prophet. You see these men that believe that Jesus wants everybody rich. They want you to send them their face seed. And you see the way they live. They live licentious. They've had multiple wives and all the nonsense. And they're living in not just luxury. They're living in ridiculous opulence. I mean, they have everything. And that's not Christianity. All that money got from God's word, God's people. The test of character, the test of creed. What do they really believe? If you want to know if someone is right or wrong, if they are legitimate Christian, what do they believe about Jesus Christ? If they do not believe that he is God in the flesh and that he is the only way to heaven, then they are wrong about everything else. That's the test that gives us in 1 John. And then you look at the test of converts. What do the people that follow them look like? I'm not saying we're you know, but listen, if I'm a follower of so-and-so, and there's nothing of the fruit of the Spirit in their life, there's nothing of godly living in their life, we know that who they're following is not right. If that's how they want to live, and it's contrary to Scripture. So what was the problem here? Look at it. With the problem they had in several areas, it was in their position. They said, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess. That was the problem. They let this woman Jezebel. Now, I personally don't believe that her name was Jezebel. I think that that's a description of her. Because it's pretty descriptive, right? I mean, you think of Jezebel, you don't think of good things. You know, you see, what do you think of when you think of Judas? You think of traitor. Benedict Arnold, traitor. You think of Rahab. Now, she was righteous later, but usually what's the first thing that comes to mind with Rahab? Harlot, you know. But when you what do you think of? When you think of Jezebel, yeah, just think of rebellion. You think of evil, who calleth herself a prophetess. There was a lady in the church that had a seat of power, and the church not only did nothing about it, they allowed her free access and free reign to do that. By the way, in our church, we believe in serving the Lord. The higher up the position, you know, making coffee is one thing, being a teacher. When we accept the position of service in the church, we have to understand something. We are also accepting the position of the lifestyle that needs to back it up. Right? It's not just, well, you know, I want to do this in the church and I'm not even living like a Christian. That's a bad testimony. Now, you can come to church and do whatever you want, but if you want to step forward, there's a little bit of responsibility that comes with that. I mean, if we're in the choir, we better live a right way. And I know we have great choir members, and I'm not saying, I'm just giving an illustration. It would be a shame for someone to go into a church and see a choir member and say, hey, now they wouldn't do that here, I don't believe, but say, hey, that person was out doing this on Friday night. What are they doing singing in the choir? You know, that sends a message. And that's what Jezebel was doing. She was sending that type of message. Jezebel was deceptive, idolatrous, domineering, scheming, and just flat out vicious. And this woman was probably using some of the same tactics and methods. So they gave her authority and they should not have. And then they let her proclaim to teach. Now, some of you won't like this, but it's okay. We shall overcome. The sin in allowing her to teach is twofold. Number one, pastoral ministry is for men, not ladies. You say, well, I don't like that. And that's fine, but it's in the Bible. Okay? Now, I'm not saying ladies can teach ladies classes and the children, all that, but that's for men. The pastoral is for the men, and she was taking almost a pastoral position. You say, but I heard some woman on TBN, Totally Bogus Network. I heard her preaching, and she was good. She may have been good. I've heard your sister, Brother Myers. You know Joyce Meyer. She's not my sister. The only thing worse than listening to that woman teach false doctrine is realizing someone's married to that. Okay? That's not of God. There's another one out. She's a false prophet, Beth Moore. She has a bunch of books out there. Oh, that got quiet. Maybe some of you know who she is. Okay? I'm not reading no book by Beth Moore, especially since not only is she not supposed to be teaching, she's also a false prophet. We could go on and on and on, but I think you're going to get the message. Okay? Let's be very, very careful. Secondly, though, bad enough they allowed her to a pastoral teaching type position, but what she was teaching was just wrong. It was horrible. It was error. And that takes us to the next point under that, in the practice, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed to idols. Now, I believe that has to do with, we've mentioned several times Balaam, but what Balaam did is he got God's people cursed by getting them to hook up with others in idol worship. And she was doing something along those lines. By the way, there's almost a thing in Christianity where immorality is okay. It's not. Now, if I got up and said, God says homosexuality is wrong, and I got on that for 5 minutes, man, you'd be swinging from the chandeliers like, that's right, that's truth. Adultery is wrong too. Can I get a witness there? But why is it that adulterers get a free pass? It's all sexual sin. Okay? You say, well, I'm new and I'm here and, you know, I'm living with my partner. What should I do? Get married. Okay, if you're going to be a Christian, you're going to be what God wants you to do. He says get married. You say, I don't want to marry him. Then you shouldn't be living with him. Okay, you want to play house. Like I always tell, you know, I've had people come, like, ladies here like, well, I'm living with, I just don't know what. It's like, listen, he's not going to buy the cow if the milk's free. All right? You say, I probably shouldn't have said that. Maybe not, but get over it. But that's wrong. in sexual, and she was actually promoting in a sense to where they thought it was okay. There's a guy, and I hesitate to tell his name because sometimes you go listen to these idiots. I shouldn't use the word idiot, I'm sorry. Ill-informed, ignorant individuals. Andy Stanley, he has one of the biggest churches in America. He gave an illustration of God's grace. Here it was. Here was a guy in his church with his wife. This guy in his church started cheating on his wife with another man in the church. It came out, they got divorced. This man hooked up with his boyfriend. This lady remarried somebody else. And his illustration was grace is they're all in the church comfortably, both of those families together. That's ridiculous. Okay, sexual sin is killing our country. It's killing our churches. Stay right. And by the way, the internet doesn't help. Okay, it just doesn't. And so let's make sure. And I don't know how people can illustrate this, but how people can, Christianize this, but it's just not. But the point is this. Bad doctrine always will lead to bad living. It always will. Okay? That's why the Bible says, by your fruits you shall know them. If the teaching is not truth, if the preaching is not the truth of the Bible, it will always lead to bad living. Whenever someone wants to, I don't like to argue doctrine with people I know aren't asking because they want to find the truth. I just want to argue and debate. Listen, there's a bunch of idiots on the internet you can listen to and go to town with. They'll cuss at you, I'll tell you that right now. But listen, I haven't got time for that. Now, if someone has a legitimate question, that's different. Okay? Why don't we just find truth and let's just follow what God wants us to follow? Number four, the announcement of judgment. I have to hurry. God announced that there is going to be judgment. Sin is always going to be judged. And sometimes we have this thing about God, you know, he's waiting for us to make a mistake so he can step on us and get us. That's not how God operates. Fact of the matter is, most of the punishment for sin is going to be built into the sin. In other words, God tells us to stay away from the sin because he knows that that sin is going to cause issues. But there's punishment. I want you to notice underneath the punishment, they were given some space. Verse 21, and I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. God, and I don't know why, because it's a good thing I'm not a Mormon, because Mormons believe you are a god of your own planet. And if I was a god of my planet and I saw her doing that, she wouldn't have been given an inch to repent. She'd have been wiped out immediately. Okay, but I'm not God, right? But God gave her space to change, and she didn't. See, God wants us. I love this quote by Charles Spurgeon. God loves us far. People always talk about God's love and grace, man, and just, you know, so it doesn't matter what we do. Okay, thanks for coming. God loves us far too much to ever let one of his children sin successfully. Think about that. You can't sin successfully. Lord, I'm going to go in, I'm going to lie on this test, and I pray that you'd help me to get through this. It's not going to happen. God doesn't bless sin. Now, God is patient, and he'll give us space, but when we get ardent and we get hard, time is up if you're God's child. Sometimes we think because God does not strike down or judge sin immediately that we're getting away with it, but I can assure you, no one gets away with wrong or evil. God is very patient and loves us, and if you're his child, the good thing is when you do wrong, he convicts us to change us to get to do right, because he doesn't want us to continue in a lifestyle that's going to hurt us. So he gave us space. He also said they could be spared, verse 22. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into the great tribulation. Trouble was coming. Except they repent of their deeds. Even then, he said, here's the judgment. It's very specific, and it's not good. He says, but you could still be spared, but they weren't going to be. And then I want you to see they received what they sowed. Verse 23, and I will kill her children with death. You say, man, this seems like pretty harsh judgment. It is, because the sin was very harsh. When you bring immorality into a church, that's not good. And the church is allowing that type of teaching to go on, that's not good. By the way, we don't understand this now, but back in that time frame, a lot of the false gods, their worship involved immorality. That's why he talked about the meat sacrificed to their idols, because when they would have the meat and the sacrifice to the idols, immorality always followed. And God's like, hey, that is that. Sometimes we read the Bible. How come God destroyed those cities and got killed all those people? Because that kind of nonsense was going on. And some of it even involved sacrificing their children while they were committing this immorality. Study up on some of the false gods mentioned in the Bible. It's scary. And that's why God's like, hey, this is strong stuff. And all the churches shall know that I am He which searcheth the reins and the hearts. And look what he says. And I will give unto every one of you according to your works. You know what we call that? Say we call that reaping what you sow. But it's also called justice. See? God is just. He deals with us according to what we've done. Now, in this sense, it's a negative because their deeds were negative. But let's flip it on its ear for a minute. It can also be positive. See, sometimes we do right in a world where everything's wrong and we wonder, does anybody ever know? Does God know what's going on? Does not God know what I'm trying to do? It just seems like nothing's working out. I can assure you by the authority of Scripture, God is keeping score. And God will reward you according to what you're doing. Just be patient and hang on. But we reap what we sow. If we want to be a Christian that's very loose with our lifestyle and we blame it on grace, which we don't understand what grace is, okay? Grace is the power to save us, but it's also the power to help us to overcome sin and live righteously in our lives on this earth. And we don't deserve that, and God gives that to us. I want you to notice number 5. He talks about the accommodation of faithfulness. Look at verse 24. But unto you, I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, those that were doing right, as many as have not this doctrine. There were some there that didn't believe the nonsense and which have not known the depths of Satan. They were not involved in the immorality and all that nonsense. As they speak, I will put none other burden. God goes, I'm not going to drop anything on you. Okay, you're fighting the battle and it's not good in your church. And I'm not going to give you any other burden except for one thing. Verse 25, but that they have already, but that which you have already, hold fast till I come. You know what he said? He said, I'm not getting on you for anything because you're trying to do the right thing. Stay faithful. That's what he said. He said, hang on. Hold on to that which you have and just stay faithful to what you're supposed to be. I like that. Let's be right and let's just be who we're supposed to be. Say, the world is wicked and nonsense is everywhere. What am I supposed to do? You know what you're supposed to do? Just stay faithful. Hold on to that which is right. Even when you see those who claim to be Christians dropping off, wanting less Christianity, you know, less, let's have less services, let's have less of this and more of that, you know, and we'll just show up on Sunday morning and all blah, blah. And I've read the things, you know, churches that drop Sunday night church, their offerings go up. People will pay for the for not coming to church. That says something about people, though. Well, let me just tell you something. We in the world in which we live, we don't need less of Jesus Christ. We need more. Okay? And let's hold fast to the things which we have. We need the encouragement. And then lastly, he talks about the award of overcoming. Verse 26. And he that overcometh, we've already looked about that. That who trusts Jesus Christ as Savior. And they're keeping my works unto the end. To him will he give power over the nations. And he shall rule with a rod of iron. I think that's talking to me about the millennial reign when Christ comes and rules all the nations. And those who are Christians who have went on and died, they will be there to help with that. As the vessels of a potter, they shall be broken to shivers, even as they receive a father. And I will give him the morning star. This morning star, I believe, is talking about Jesus Christ. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit say unto the churches. What's the message for us tonight? Let's not tolerate false doctrine and wrong living. Let's not tolerate it. Okay? Let's make sure in our lives and in our church we stay right. If we would just stay with the Bible, by the way, there are too many voices out there. I'm not saying there are some people that their voices are good and teach truth, but we're so caught up in what somebody else says and it sounds cute and we don't have the spiritual common sense to check the scriptures for ourselves. We watched some video with some off-the-wall lame clip. And these people that criticize churches that try to stand for right. You know, you're under grace. God doesn't care how you live. That's nonsense. Read the New Testament and tell me you can come up with that. But let's not tolerate it in our lives. Because it leads to loose living. Okay? Wrong doctrine always leads to it. And we can't fight it. It's going to be out there, but we can fight it in our family's lives, and we can fight it in our church. We're not going to let, you know what we're going to do? Let's just hold fast to the things which we have. Let's hold to the truth of the scripture. Let society criticize us. And by the way, sometimes I mention what's going on in our society. My fight's not with society. And I understand what's going on in politics, and I'm going to vote the right way and all that nonsense, but I'm not going to waste and spend my life fighting that stuff. Now, I'm going to stand up for what's right, and we're going to know what's right, but when we go into the world, we're there to reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, let's keep doing that. Let's not get caught up in this other nonsense. Let's all stand together this evening.